Wrestling Show, the podcast where all pro wrestling matters, and we're going to kick it off with a bang this week, as I have Fro with me. Hello, Fro.
Hello, me.
And we are going to start this week's show off because yesterday, or last night, the Wrestling Observer newsletter came out with their year-end awards. So what we're going to do, like we did with Pro Wrestling Illustrated, I'm going to read off the top result getters here for the Observer. It's the top three. And Fro has to pick who won in those categories.
Yeah, and if anybody is asking themselves, oh, couldn't he just Google that? I'm too lazy to do that.
There you go. Now, one other thing I do want to mention before we begin. And I'm sure there are going to be people that are going to complain about this. These results were voted upon by the readers of the Wrestling Observer newsletter. Meltzer had nothing to do with who won these categories.
Were people a little pissed? Online?
With some of the categories.
Okay, cool. How many categories is it?
A lot.
Nice.
So, per tradition, we start off with the Category B awards. Basically, the minor awards. The best makeup, best costume design of the Observer Newsletter Awards.
Right, yeah. The Oscars, like, sound design.
Yes. Here are the nominees for Best Janitor in a Cleanup After a Movie.
That's more or less it. Yeah.
All right. So we will begin with U.S. Canada MVP.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Here were the top three.
Okay.
Kenny Omega, Cody Rhodes, Jon Moxley. Who won the award?
Ooh, that is three good picks. Kenny Omega, Jon Moxley, and what was the last one?
It was Kenny Omega, Cody Rhodes, Jon Moxley.
Oh, Cody Rhodes, yeah. All from AEW. I am going to go with Jon Moxley.
Yeah, Jon Moxley ran away with this one.
Yeah.
Like, he had...
He ran away with it.
Yeah, wow. He had 955 votes. Omega had 109.
Okay.
All right, so now we're going to go to Japan. Here are their top three. Goshi Ozaki, Tetsuya Naito, and Kota Ibushi.
Kota Ibushi.
It was actually Naito.
Okay,
but
cool.
That one was close. It was about 38 votes different. Next category is the Mexico MVP.
Mm-hmm.
Rey Fénix, Pagano, and Laredo Kid.
Ray Phoenix.
It was Ray Phoenix. Very good.
You told me two wrestlers I'd never heard of before, and one I have.
Well, there you go.
So I went with the one I've heard of. Yeah.
Now we have the European MVP.
Me.
I wish it was.
Yeah.
Walter, mm-hmm. Will Ospreay, Zack Sabre Jr.
That is actually very hard. Well, this is last year, so... was Walter that much on TV? I will go with Walter.
For the third year in a row, it is Walter.
Nice.
Alright, the non-heavyweight MVP, or now referred to as the Danny Hodge Award.
The what? The what?
Danny Hodge Award.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you off air.
Okay.
Darby Allin.
Mm-hmm.
Hiromu Takahashi.
Mm-hmm.
Ray Phoenix.
Allen.
It was Hiromu Takahashi.
Oh, him.
And women's wrestling MVP.
Mm-hmm.
Mayu Iwatani, Sasha Banks, Bayley.
Sasha.
It was Bayley.
Well, was one of the heels.
Yeah. okay.
I'm going to guess that Sasha got second.
No, Sasha finished third, actually.
Really?
The vote, mm-hmm. the top three was really close. Bayley and Iwatani was 20 vote difference.
Ooh, that much.
Bayley and Sasha Banks was 52 different.
That is not much here.
No, it's all very close.
Yeah.
Okay, so this next one, I'm going to have to tweak it a little bit.
Okay.
Best box office draw. The winner of the category was Conor McGregor. For this one, you have to tell me which wrestler finished first in that category. Doesn't necessarily mean they won it, but they were the closest.
Okay, cool.
Chris Jericho, John Moxley, Tetsuya Naito.
John Moxley.
John Moxley, very good.
Nice.
All right. Next category. Feud of the Year. The Feud of the Year. Was it Kenny Omega versus Adam Page, Cody Rhodes versus Brody Lee, or John Moxley versus Eddie Kingston?
Yeah, I think I will go with the last one.
Moxley and Kingston?
Yeah.
It was Moxley and Kingston. Okay, next category. Most improved wrestler. Was it John Silver, Giulia, or Britt Baker?
Britt Baker.
It was Britt Baker. Very good.
I mean, holy moly, she was good to see.
You are on a roll today.
I am on fire.
He's on fire.
He's on fire.
All right. Next category, most charismatic.
Okay.
And I could tell you the difference between first and second. 8 votes.
That's not much.
Here are the top three. You got to figure out which was number one. Orange Cassidy, MJF, John Moxley.
Ooh. Well, my favorite this year was MJF, so I will go with that.
It is MJF.
Oh.
Orange Cassidy was 8 votes behind.
Yeah, I mean, he is amazing.
Oh my god, he's so good. All right, next up is the Bryan Danielson Award for the Best Technical Wrestler.
I know someone that is named that. Just all the way around.
Well, he's in the top three.
Okay. It would be funny if he won his own award.
Well, let me tell you who the other two are.
Okay.
Jonathan Gresham and Zack Sabre Jr.
Oh, Zack Sabre Jr.
It's Zack Sabre Jr.
I mean, come on.
It is the, let me count this right, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7th year in a row he's won this award.
He is that amazing, though.
He is.
I think it's funny that Daniel Bryan doesn't win his own award, though.
That would have been pretty awesome if he did.
Yeah, I'm like, now presenting to myself this amazing award. I want to thank myself for creating this award that I will give to myself.
Alright, next category is the Bruiser Brody Memorial Award for the Best Brawler. Is it Brody Lee, John Moxley, or Tomohiro Ishii?
Ishii.
It is John Moxley.
Oh, I don't actually see him as a brawler.
Moxley is the first winner in 7 years not named Ishii. So he ends a streak there. Alright, next category is the best flying wrestler. High flyer, basically.
Right.
Will Ospreay, Rey Fénix, Hiromu Takahashi.
Ooh, all good. Say it one more time, please.
Will Ospreay, Rey Fénix, Hiromu Takahashi.
Ospreay.
Rey Fénix.
Okay. I don't mind that.
No, I don't mind that at all. Alright, boys and girls, now it's time to have a little bit of laughter. Next category, the most overrated. Who did the reader say was the most overrated wrestler of 2020?
I don't know my answer. Okay, yes, come on.
King Corbin?
Oh, no.
Bray Wyatt?
Yeah.
Or Evil?
Who? Evil? Yeah. Really? Overrated?
Mm-hmm.
No. Yeah, it's King Corbin, isn't it?
It's actually Bray Wyatt.
He's not overrated, he's just underused. Or I shouldn't say underused, he's used in the wrong way. He's not overrated.
So, now we go from overrated to underrated. Is it Chad Gable, Ricochet, or Matt Riddle?
No, Ricochet.
It is Ricochet. Very good. All right. Now, here comes the laughter. Rookie of the Year.
Okay.
The Rookie of the Year. Is it Anna Jay, SB Kento, or Pat McAfee?
Pat McAfee?
Uh-huh.
Okay. I have absolutely no clue. I will go with Pat McAfee.
It's Pat McAfee.
It is? Really?
He had only two matches.
He had two matches?
He had two matches all year.
Okay.
Now, I think my pick, which might have also would have been your pick, Dominic Mysterio.
Yes, definitely.
He finished fourth.
That would definitely be my pick.
But still, Pat McAfee.
Yeah, no. That's weird.
Best non-wrestler.
Okay.
Paul Heyman.
Yeah.
Taz. Don Callis.
No. You already said it the first.
Paul Heyman?
Paul Heyman is the best.
It's Taz the winner.
No, it's not.
Yes, it
is. Paul Heyman, because Paul Heyman makes Roman Reigns interesting, and nobody in my entire life thought that you could make Roman Reigns interesting, but holy moly, that man has done it.
All right. Next category.
I care about Roman Reigns. Like, hello? That is so weird to say. Like, hello, my name is Fro. I care about Roman Reigns.
You made me care about Roman Reigns.
You made me care about Roman Reigns.
Alright.
Yeah.
Next category. Best TV announcer.
Ooh.
Kevin Kelly.
No.
Excalibur.
Yeah.
Tony Schiavone.
Excalibur.
It is Excalibur.
I mean, he's the best.
He is very good.
Yes,
I would have gone Tony Schiavone myself, but nothing
yeah,
against
me too.
Excalibur.
Yeah, no.
All right, so we go from the best to the worst.
Well, I don't really need a category here because the true answer is a man that is sometimes on Raw and has been in a match at WrestleMania and is awful, 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 and they still hire him. What is his name again?
Michael Cole.
Michael Cole is the
Yeah, he won the award.
letter
Yeah.
answer. He did? What a surprise.
Corey Graves was second. Beth Phoenix was third. Okay. Next one. Now, this is a very interesting one. The
Okay.
best major wrestling show of the year.
AEW.
All right, well, you got the promotion right, but which show?
Probably not After Dark, so I will go with main show.
Well, I mean, this is a pay-per-view we're talking about.
Oh, it's pay-per-view. Well, not the roulette one.
No. Okay, sir. Okay, you're taking Double or Nothing out. Do you want the list of
Yes,
AEW?
please.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's Revolution, Double or Nothing, All Out, and Full Gear.
All out.
It's Revolution.
Okay, I don't mind that.
Wrestle Kingdom from January 4th, 2020 finished second, and G1 Climax from October 10th finished third. And just want to mention this, finishing fourth, the Brody Lee tribute show, aka the best tribute show ever.
Yeah.
So now we go from the best to the worst.
Jesus Christ, something WWE.
The top three were WWE. The horror show at Extreme Rules,
Jesus Christ, that was awful.
WrestleMania Night 2,
Yeah, that was also awful.
Super Showdown.
Oh, that is also a good pick. I am going to say the show that made me the most angry was definitely Hell in the Cell.
Yeah, but that wasn't the choice.
I know, but that made me the most angry because they painted it red and we couldn't see shit. And they had red lights on the red cage. If you want to hear me rant about it, it's on this show somewhere. I'm going to go on the controversial night 2 of WrestleMania.
It is Super Showdown.
Yeah.
Just to give a quick reminder of what Super Showdown was.
No, please.
The Undertaker defeated AJ Styles, Andrade, Bobby Lashley, Eric Rowan, and R-Truth in a gauntlet match for a trophy.
So amazing. Such a good match.
The Miz and John Morrison defeated The New Day. Angel Garza defeated Humberto Carrillo.
Mm-hmm.
Seth Rollins and Murphy defeated the Street Profits.
Wow.
Mansoor defeated Dolph Ziggler.
Wow.
Brock Lesnar defeated Ricochet to stay the WWE champion.
Yeah, that was one of the worst Brock Lesnar matches of all time.
Roman Reigns defeated King Corbin in a steel cage.
Yeah.
Bayley defeated Naomi.
Why watch this?
And the main event.
Yeah, tell them the main event, please.
Goldberg defeated The Fiend for the Universal title.
Yep. That was such an amazing match.
And if you combine the total time of the WWE title match and the Universal title match, it is under 5 minutes.
I know. Two squash matches during the night. That's what we did in the pay-per-view. Now I remember this as one of the worst shows ever. But the real answer is still not that. So.
Night 2 of WrestleMania finished 3rd, by the way.
Okay.
With the horror show at Extreme Rules 2nd.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Extreme Rules was okay.
It wasn't terrible.
No, I don't think it deserves a 2nd. I think definitely Hell in a Cell was worse.
Alright, well, let's go to the best wrestling move.
Okay.
Is it Adam Page's Buckshot Lariat? Kenny Omega's One-Winged Angel?
I love that.
Omega and Page's Buckshot V-Trigger?
Yeah, the V-Trigger is amazing. I'm going to go with the V-Trigger, actually.
It's the One-Winged Angel.
Okay.
Alright, now this next category, this, like for me, honestly, is the one that I've looked forward to all, like for the last month, waiting to hear what the winner is. Because I gotta build this up. Most disgusting promotional tactic.
Okay.
Let me just say, the top 3 are WWE. What a surprise.
Said nobody.
But the question is, and when you figure out the winner, I will go through the rest of this list. The question is, which one was the worst?
Okay.
WWE operating for months without COVID testing.
Mm-hmm.
WWE stopping talent from third-party opportunities, or WWE firing people during a pandemic, during a year where they were setting profit records.
Yeah, the last.
It's the last one.
I mean, how dare they?
I know. The rest of the list, and I'm even going to include the one MMA one here. Second was operating without COVID testing. Third was stopping the talent. Fourth was WWE running in Saudi Arabia. Well, actually, COVID kind of stopped that. So thank you, COVID.
Yeah. At least you did something good.
Yeah. Fifth, AEW restarting the Matt Hardy Sammy Guevara match.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Sixth, Rey Mysterio losing his eye angle.
Remember that, everybody?
I try to forget that crap.
So good.
Seventh, Dana White attempting to run a Native American reservation show in California to get around COVID restrictions.
Remember that, everybody. That he was going to buy his own island. Then he bought his own island.
I feel sorry for the Native Americans. I really do on this one. Then we had a tie for eighth. WWE continuing to employ and push wrestlers with credible sexual allegations against them. And Bushiroad handling the death of Hana Kimura. And 10th, Drake Maverick firing storyline with all the real firings.
Yeah, that was such a, like, apropos.
Well, now let's get to the worst television show.
Raw.
Yeah, it's Raw.
I mean, come on.
It's not even close. I disagree with number two here.
On this okay. Show. Is it SmackDown?
It's Impact.
No.
But they had 25 votes. But I still disagree with that.
Yeah, I disagree with that as well.
SmackDown was third.
Yeah, SmackDown is way worse.
Okay. Now, here comes another fun one.
Okay.
The worst match of the year.
Well, you had that one in Hell in a Cell. I don't know if I mentioned that yet. Yeah.
Let me read you the nominees.
Sure.
Goldberg versus The Fiend, Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
Matt Hardy versus Sammy Guevara in, I think it was at the Hardy compound.
Yes.
And Braun Strowman versus The Fiend in the swamp fight.
I like that. No, I'm going to go with Saudi Arabia one.
7 votes was the difference between first and second place.
Mm-hmm.
The winner and worst match of the year. Braun Strowman versus The Fiend in the swamp fight.
No.
Goldberg versus The Fiend was second.
At least they tried to do something original with the swamp match. It didn't work, but they at least tried.
Oh, and by the way, second year in a row, The Fiend wins worst match of the year.
Oh, yeah. What was last year?
Him against Seth Rollins, Hell in a Cell.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that was awful.
All right. Next category. The worst feud of the year.
Okay.
Again, this is all WWE-centric on this one. Bray Wyatt versus Randy Orton.
Well, everything with Randy Orton in it, so.
Bray Wyatt versus Braun Strowman.
Okay.
Lana versus Nia Jax.
I'm going to guess that the Braun Strowman was the winner.
It was the winner.
But which one? I'm going to go with Randy Orton, just because I don't like him.
No, it was Bray Wyatt and Braun Strowman.
Ah!
Wyatt versus Orton was second.
Okay.
And second year in a row, Bray Wyatt in this category.
Nice.
Next category, the worst promotion of the year. This one's a runaway.
WWE.
Impact Wrestling somehow was second. I guess someone had to finish second. Ring of Honor is third.
Yeah, Ring of Honor is second for me.
No, they've gotten so much better.
They did something very stupid last year.
What did they do? Okay, tell them. I wanna know real quick. What did they do?
Well, wasn't that the year they did the sexual thing? Wasn't that last year?
What sexual thing?
Wasn't that that wrestler? Was that Ring of Honor?
No.
Are you talking about
Joey Ryan?
Yeah.
He was an Impact.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, best booker. Gato.
Okay.
Nosawa, Rongai, and Tony Khan.
Tony Khan,
very good. Promoter of the year. Tony Khan, Sanshiro Takagi, Harold Hodge.
Tony Khan,
very good. Best gimmick.
Okay.
Roman Reigns. Yes, about that? Roman Reigns made the top of this list.
I don't disagree, though. I don't disagree. Okay. Yes.
Brody Lee.
Yeah.
Orange Cassidy
had the best gimmick.
It is Orange Cassidy. Very good.
I mean, come on. Him jumping around with his hands in his pocket is one of the best things I can ever get.
Now we go to the worst gimmick. And I'm going to say this for the record. I disagree with number one.
Okay.
But here are the top three.
Okay.
Retribution, Alexa Bliss, and The Fiend.
Alexa Bliss.
It's The Fiend.
No.
Yep.
I don't think we...
Who won best gimmick last year wins worst gimmick this year.
I don't agree.
Now, Retribution, which finished second, would have been my number one.
I don't know what Retribution is.
Be thankful you don't. Be thankful you don't. Yeah. Do you want to try Best Book or no?
Yeah. Come on.
We have...
Hit me with your best shot.
All right, here are the top three books that were voted upon by the fans.
Okay.
The Eighth Wonder of the World, The True Story of Andre the Giant.
Okay.
Under the Black Hat, My Life in the WWE and Beyond. And Young
That's
Bucks.
That's by The Undertaker.
No, not about The Undertaker. And Young Bucks, Killing the Business from the Backyards to the Big Leagues.
What is the second book about, then?
It's about Jim Ross.
Death Black Cats.
Black Cat Barbecue Sauce.
Young Bucks.
It was the Young Bucks. Very good.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
See, I'm a very good guesser.
Yes. I don't know what it is. You got something here. Right? Okay.
I don't know.
Best pro wrestling documentary.
Oh.
There's so many good ones.
Yeah. This no joke is maybe the hardest of the day, yeah.
And that's saying something. And we haven't even gotten into like the A categories.
Right.
Dark Side of the Ring, Chris Benoit.
Yeah, I mean that was maybe the most impactful for me, definitely. I cried so much during that.
WWE The Last Ride.
No! It was good though. I will say that. I will give it that.
And Dark Side of the Ring, Owen Hart.
Ooh!
Yeah, these are some good ones.
I'm still going to go with first one.
With Benoit?
Yeah.
Finished second.
Owen Hart was first.
The Owen Hart episode was first. But a lot of the Dark Side of the Ring episodes made the top, like, nine. Other ones of Dark Side of the Ring, just to mention, Herb Abrams, which was really good and kind of funny at times. The Brawl for All episode.
Oh, that was so good.
And New Jack. How about that? New Jack actually made a best of list for once. Let's give him a round of applause, everyone. I'm just kidding. Okay, now we're going to go to the Category A awards, and we're going to start with the match of the year. the pro wrestling match of the year.
Ooh, this is going to be hard. Okay.
Young Bucks versus FTR. Kazuchika Okada versus Kota Ibushi from Wrestle Kingdom Night 1.
That was really good.
That was really good.
Yeah.
Young Bucks versus Kenny Omega and Adam Page.
I know. I'm going to go with the second one, actually.
Okada versus Ibushi.
Yeah.
That finished second. It was the Bucks. It was the Bucks against Omega and Page.
I think that is wrong.
Those would have been my top two, though.
Honestly. Oh, definitely. Oh, definitely.
Okay. Best weekly TV show. NXT being the elite. Dynamite. It's Dynamite. Best wrestling promotion. New Japan. All Elite. WWE.
Worst?
No, best.
All Elite.
It is All Elite. Very good. Excuse me.
Logic.
Next category, best on interviews.
Okay.
John Moxley, Eddie Kingston, MJF.
MJF.
Eddie Kingston.
Okay.
Tag Team of the Year. The Young Bucks, Kenny Omega and Adam Page, FTR.
FTR.
It was the Young Bucks.
Oh, okay.
The most outstanding wrestler. Kota Ibushi, Shingo Takagi, Kenny Omega.
Kenny Omega.
It is Kenny Omega. Very good. And the last award, the biggie, the Luthez Ric Flair Award for Wrestler of the Year. Kenny Omega, Tetsuya Naito, John Moxley.
I don't know.
Three good
John
choices.
Moxley, maybe?
It is John Moxley.
Okay.
Very good. And that concludes this year's Observer Year-End Awards. So, Fro did so good on this. It was fantastic, actually.
Nice.
Dave Meltzer did mention in the newsletter, just to let everyone know, next week he will introduce the first Shad Gaspard Award winner, which will be for work outside the ropes. So, for those that were curious why we didn't get it this week, that's why. All right. Well, Fro, anything you want to plug before you head out?
Yeah. Listen to another Digital Show. 6 Itza is on your streaming device. And also listen to After Dark.
Yes, which you could find on the Patreon of that wrestling show.
it's after dark.
After dark.
After dark. And if you're wondering why we whisper, you have to listen to the episode.
There you go. Well, Fro, thank you for being on. We'll do this again. Hopefully we'll have you on again sometime soon to do another fun little shindig. And we'll be back with, well, me.
Well, thank you everyone for listening to this week's episode of That Wrestling Show, and still got some stuff left to go here. Going to review the Elimination Chamber event that took place this past Friday. Plus, got a lot of news to discuss. So, let's dive into it and let's talk about, if you pardon my pun, the big story of the week this week in the world of professional wrestling, which is that the Big Show, Paul White, is now Elite, as he is in All Elite Wrestling. Reports coming out basically is that WWE and Paul White could not agree to a new contract, so Paul White became a free agent and is now in All Elite Wrestling, and he's going to do commentary for AEW Dark Elevation, which is going to be, I guess, like their developmental program starting in about a week or two. So, this is a very interesting story. This definitely caught everybody by surprise. I don't know too many people that did not think this was going to happen. I don't think nobody knew this was going to happen, to be honest. This is an interesting move because I think to a lot of people, Paul White was going to be a WWE guy for life. I really think so. But here we have Paul White, who's going to go to All Elite Wrestling. He's going to be a commentator for the most part. Will he wrestle? You never know. Maybe every once in a while. Hard to tell. But going to be very interesting to, you know, hear Paul White on another program that's not WWE. I mean, he'd been there since 1999, was there for 21 years, almost 22 years, and had a very good run, held just about every title that you can imagine in WWE, and now he's going over to AEW. Going to be a commentator, should be very interesting. I wonder how he will do as a commentator. You know, some wrestlers transition well into becoming a commentator. Others don't do so well. So, should be very interesting to see how Paul White ends up on the commentary side behind the mic instead of being in front of the mic. So, should be very interesting to see. Some unfortunate news to report this week. The NWA lost one of their wrestlers, Joseph Hudson. Some of you may know him as Josephus, or Josephus, and some of you may know him as the question mark. He passed away unexpectedly earlier this week. No report has been officially made as to what caused his death. He does leave behind a wife and a son, 10 years old. This is unfortunate news because, you know, you don't ever want to see anything like this happen to, anybody in general. But for this to happen to a guy who really, like, his peak was when he was the question mark. I think it's kind of funny because, like, we all kind of knew who the question mark was. We just didn't want to say who it was. But it is sad news. Leaves a wife and son behind. Also, his mother, three brothers, and two nieces and so many friends who knew Joseph Hudson very well. A campaign, a GoFundMe campaign, was launched a few days ago, and I can tell you guys that not even 24 hours after the GoFundMe was made, they have already reached their total. Their goal was $15,000. They have raised over $25,000 to help with the family of Joseph Hudson. You could still make donations. I will put the link in the description of this week's episode, and I'll also put it in our Facebook group and also our Twitter account. So if anyone would like to donate money to help out the family of Joseph Hudson, I think that would be an absolute wonderful thing to do. Just a sad loss, an unfortunate loss, and, you know, unexpected. I think those are the ones that, depending on who you are the ones that really hurt the most. And I do want to send, on behalf of everyone, fan, guest here on That Wrestling Show, I do want to send our thoughts, condolences, and prayers to the family of Joseph Hudson. WWE had a very big week at the Developmental Center because the largest class of recruits debuted this week at the Performance Center. And one of the things that WWE does in WWE.com is they will tell you who the new recruits are. This is a very big list, and there are some familiar names, and I'm sure there are going to be some that you don't know at this point in time, but you never know. They could end up becoming big stars. So, got to go through this list. Bronson Recksteiner, who is the son of Rick Steiner, was an All-American running back at Kennesaw State University. Kira Magnon Forster, known as Taya Valkyrie, is also at the Performance Center. Sean Ricker, formerly Eli Drake, now known as L.A. Knight. You've seen him a couple of times on NXT. Angela Arnold is also there. She has competed as AQA, competed in Shimmer, along with Booker T's Reality of Wrestling promotion. Parker Boudreaux, I've heard his name a little bit as of late. They are calling him the Brock clone, 6'4", over 300 pounds, was an offensive lineman at the University of Central Florida. Anthony Henry has competed for Evolve Wrestling. Chance Barrow, better known as Harlem Bravado, has competed in Ring of Honor, competed in Pro Wrestling Noah, Evolve, just to name several places. Teresa Serrano, also competing as Zoe Stark. You saw her recently on TV on NXT. Christian Brigham, also known as Christian Casanova, is at the Performance Center. Priscilla Kelly, who now goes by Gigi Dolan, competed in the 2018 Mae Young Clinic or Classic and was a part of the Women's Dusty Tournament. Drew Casper, the brother of Jacob Casper, was a two-time All-American heavyweight wrestler for Otterbein University and was the number one seeded wrestler in the Division III tournament before it was canceled due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Brianna Cota, who is now known as Cora Jade, 19 years old, has been wrestling since 2018 and debuted at the Women's Dusty Classic. Christian Hubble is a former college cheerleader. You may know him as Blake Christian, has wrestled in Pro Wrestling Guerrilla and Game Changer Wrestling. Matrick Belton played Division I football for South Carolina and trained at the CZW Academy in New Jersey. Cameron Clay has been competing under the name Cameron Brane and has wrestled with the likes of Shotzi Blackheart. Joe Areola, 25-year-old amateur wrestler, was an undefeated state champion and national champion in high school, wrestled for the University of Buffalo in college and qualified for the NCAA tournament in 2016. Taylor Grotto competed as Avery Taylor in Evolve and Shine. And finally, Carissa Rivera has wrestled in different promotions such as Northeast Wrestling and Women's Wrestling Revolution. Good luck to all those men and women out in that group, the biggest group as far as recruits for the WWE Performance Center. Oh boy, it's going to be interesting to see who ends up making it into WWE. Want to talk about real quick WrestleCon. Yes, WrestleCon is going to happen this year. The dates are April the 9th and the 10th with a possibility, and that is the key word, with a possibility of April 11th. This will be taking place. Actually, let me get the information before I tell you who's going to be a part of it. It will be taking place at the Marriott property at the Westin Tampa Waterside. The group rate is $160, $169 per night for stays of 1 to 4 nights. Stays of 5 or more are reduced to $139 a night. The Westin Tampa Waterside is conveniently located in downtown Tampa, walking distance to many prominent venues, as well as the famous Riverwalk that is the main artery of downtown Tampa. Those who stay at the Westin Tampa Waterside using their group lock will receive free convention entry to one session per day, Friday and Saturday. Your name must be listed on the reservation as a guest of the room. We will not honor free admission for people not listed under the reservation. If you book at the hotel independently, not inside their block, they cannot offer complimentary access. Now, convention details. This is going to be a small convention offered in sessions on, like I said, April the 9th and the 10th. If the sessions fill up, they have an option to add another session on April the 11th. The convention will be entirely indoors across multiple spaces. Under normal circumstances, the space would be equipped to hold 1,600 attendees. Per hotel safety guidelines, the space will accommodate 800 people while adhering to both state and hotel imposed social distancing guidelines. However, WrestleCon plans to have no more than 320 people or 20% capacity in the room at any one time, including all vendors, talent, guests, and staff. The sessions will run like this: Friday, 9 to 11 a.m., 12 to 2 p.m., and 3 to 5 p.m. on Friday. Saturday sessions will be 9 to 11 a.m. and 12 to 2 p.m. on Saturday. Once your session has been completed, patrons must exit the convention area to allow hotel staff ample opportunity to clean and sanitize the area before the next session. Vendors and talent will use their discretion when interacting with fans. Talent will remain masked for all interactions, including photo ops. Some talent may also be seated behind plexiglass screens depending on their personal comfort level. Walk-up admission will only be sold for sessions that don't sell out in advance. There will be no live wrestling events as part of WrestleCon this year. So let's take a look at the guests that they have already announced so far, and this is quite a list so far. They have Layla, Leo Rush, Dean Malenko, Magnum TA, Brooke Hogan, Jerry the King Lawler, Arn Anderson, Ted DiBiase, Lex Luger, Ron Simmons, and Sergeant Slaughter as some of the main attractions that will be a part. The latest announced wrestlers that will be there: Jake the Snake Roberts, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Victoria, and Matt Taven will be there. Tickets for WrestleCon 2021, if you are going, go on sale next Friday. All right, well, the Elimination Chamber did happen this past Sunday, and it was quite an interesting pay-per-view, to say the least, as this may have been the shortest show in a long time. If you lived on the East Coast, or if you live on the East Coast like I do, show was over by 9:30 p.m. No joke. Show was over by 9:30 p.m. So, for those of you listening for the very first time, welcome aboard. What I do is I do discuss the matches. I'm going to give you my rating along with Dave Meltzer's ratings. And because I'm so gosh darn nice, CBS Sports' ratings as well. Because, you know, CBS Sports, they are the true aficionados of professional wrestling. So, with that said, let's get to the Elimination Chamber event. So, on the day of the show, it was announced that Keith Lee would not be competing in the triple threat match for the United States title due to an injury. So, it was determined that a fatal four-way on the kickoff show would determine who would get the next shot, or who would be in the triple threat match to replace Keith Lee. So the competitors in the match were Mustafa Ali, Elias, John Morrison, and Ricochet. You know what? This was not that bad of a match. It was actually a decent four-way match. Four good athletic competitors in the ring at one time. Nothing really spectacular, you know, as far as like moves and stuff. It just told a good story overall, I thought. And the end of the match, I now that I think about it, I kind of like the end of the match. Because Ricochet sends Mustafa Ali over the top rope. He lands on other members of Retribution. Ricochet tries for one of his famous flip dives over the top. Gets caught by members of Retribution. So the members throw Ricochet into the post. So Ali, who's up on the apron, sees this and is laughing. As this is going on, John Morrison, who's in the ring, does a schoolboy onto Ali from behind. 1, 2, 3. John Morrison wins the match and goes into the triple threat match later in the night. I kind of enjoyed this match, to be honest. It was a decent match. I enjoyed it. Nobody really looked bad in this match, I thought. I gave it a C as the grade. Meltzer gave it 3 stars. CBS Sports did not rate this match. Don't know why. Now we're going to go to the main pay-per-view, and we're going to start with the Elimination Chamber match, the SmackDown Chamber match, where the winner would compete for the Universal title. So the competitors in the match, and I'm going to go in the order of how they came in. The first four were the four into the chamber: Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, King Corbin, Jey Uso. The two that started the match: Cesaro and Daniel Bryan. Now, before I get into the match, I do want to point out Sami Zayn. He had his documentary crew with him for the match, but for some reason, the referee kicked the camera crew from ringside. She kicked them out. Like, the camera crew's going to do something in this match. Right. Okay, so Cesaro and Daniel Bryan start off. We get some really good wrestling here. No one gets eliminated in the first session. It's Sami Zayn is so funny, because when the randomizer goes on, he's like, please not me, please not me, please not me. And then when it lands on Corbin, you can hear him going, oh, thank God! So, Corbin goes in. Then Corbin takes control of Cesaro and Daniel Bryan, and then the next randomizer goes, and it's Sami Zayn. Well, Corbin goes over to Zayn's chamber. Zayn pushes the door where Corbin is at and keeps it closed. So Corbin gets beat up here by Daniel Bryan. So, you know, Sammy's like, all right, I got this. Well, there's a problem. The other door is open, and Cesaro comes in and gets Zayn out of there. Eventually, Corbin taps out to the sharpshooter. Corbin is the first one eliminated. Then Kevin Owens was the next man in, and Zayn is like, yo, let's come on, old time, you and me, let's team up, let's beat these guys, we could do it. And Zayn gets beat up by Kevin Owens. Jey Uso is the last man to come out of the chamber, so we have our five. Owens gets on a stunning mode, I guess we could say. He eliminates Sami Zayn after hitting a stunner on him. So while Owens is saying goodbye to Sami Zayn, Jey Uso hits Owens with a super kick and then takes the chamber door, slides it across onto the arm of Kevin Owens, and attacks Kevin Owens, which I thought was a really good move. I really liked this. Gives him a couple more kicks, and then he hits a flying splash off the top rope. 1, 2, 3. Kevin Owens is eliminated. So now we're down to Cesaro, Bryan, and Jey Uso. Uso's just having a field day at this point. He could pick any one of the two guys because they were there at the beginning. And, you know, he goes after both men. Cesaro fights back at Uso. It's a good back and forth, but Uso manages to hit another splash onto Cesaro to get the three count to eliminate Cesaro. It comes down to Jey Uso and Daniel Bryan. Uso climbs to the top of one of the pods, goes for a big splash. Daniel Bryan gets the knees up. Bryan hits the running kick, or the running knee. 1, 2, 3. Daniel Bryan wins the chamber match in a very good match. I really enjoyed this match. I gave it a B. Meltzer gave it 4.25 stars. Holy cow. CBS gave it a B. All right. So after the chamber match was over, we immediately go to the Universal title match. Roman Reigns comes out. The bell rings. Reigns tries to go in for the kill, but Bryan puts in the LaBelle lock, which is like, oh my god, he's going to win the title. But Reigns powers out. He beats up Daniel Bryan, who competed in a 30-plus minute match, puts on the guillotine choke. He passes out. Roman Reigns wins the match, retains the Universal title. I'm going to give it a D minus, or yeah, a D minus. It really wasn't that much. I'm not punishing the match. It was just very, very anticlimactic. Meltzer did not give a rating to this match. CBS Sports did and gave it a B. Okay. Very interesting. After the match, Edge comes in, spears Roman Reigns, points to the WrestleMania sign, and the commentators are like, oh, I think we know what Edge wants at WrestleMania. Uh-huh, sure you do. Then we briefly talk about Bad Bunny, who was on Saturday Night Live. I didn't think he was that bad, to be honest. He performed twice on the show, and he was in one skit. I wouldn't have had him in a skit. I'll say that, to be brief. I would not have had him in a skit. I just would have had him perform twice. The second time he did perform, he did have the WWE 24/7 title with him. So there's a bit with Bad Bunny and The Miz. Miz pushes Bad Bunny. Bad Bunny slaps Miz. Miz is going after Bad Bunny, but here's Damian Priest. That's really it. Now we go to the triple threat match for the United States title. John Morrison and Matt Riddle challenging the champion Bobby Lashley. You know what? This wasn't a bad match. I kind of enjoyed this match. It was a good match. It told two stories here. The first story was how dominant Bobby Lashley is and how dangerous he is. That's the first story. And then the second story is Riddle and Morrison trying to figure out how to beat Lashley, and then they eventually do, because it comes at the end of the match where Morrison hits a move, or hits Starship Pain. That's what it is. He hits Starship Pain, could only get a two count. MVP starts yakking away at John Morrison, and Morrison confronts him. So Morrison takes the crutch from MVP, and MVP's asking the referee, why don't you disqualify him? Well, there's no disqualifications in a triple threat match. So Morrison tries to hit Lashley with the crutch. Lashley catches him. He puts on the Hurt Lock. So it's like, okay, this is it. Match is going to be over. Here comes Matt Riddle from behind. He wallops Lashley multiple times with the crutch. Lashley rolls out of the ring. Riddle grabs John Morrison, hits the Bro Derek. 1, 2, 3. Matt Riddle is the new United States champion. Nice ending. I actually like this ending. Lashley did not get hurt in any way in the loss of the match. He didn't get pinned, and Matt Riddle is the new champ. He's the new United States champ. I gave this a C. I didn't think it was that bad of a match. Meltzer gave it 3.25 stars. CBS Sports gave it a B minus. All right. Next match was for the women's tag team titles. Nia Jax, Shayna Baszler defending against Bianca Belair and Sasha Banks. Before the match, we have an interview with Banks and Belair. Reginald pops up during the interview and says that after Banks and Belair win, they will celebrate with his nicest bottle of cold champagne. Huh. Well, that's about the most entertaining we'll get from this match. I really was not a big fan of this match. There was one point in the match where Nia Jax has Banks in, she's got her up in the gorilla position, and Belair comes in, and she's like, oh, I gotta get close. No, I gotta go back. No, I gotta get close. No, I gotta go back. It seemed like Belair was a little confused there. Then we get to the ending of the match. Reginald comes out. He's already got the bottle of champagne in his hand. He's got two glasses with him. So he's out there. Banks has the bank statement on Nia Jax. Jax makes it to the ropes. So Banks has to break it up. Reginald then rolls in the bottle of champagne. Banks is like, I don't know why you're giving me this. I don't want this. So the referee sees Sasha has the bottle, takes the bottle from her. The ref talks to Reginald. Nia Jax attacks Sasha from behind, hits her with the Samoan drop. 1, 2, 3. Jax and Baszler retain the women's tag team titles. This really wasn't much to write home about. I gave this a D+. Meltzer gave it 2.75 stars. CBS Sports gave it a C+. Okay, so before we get to the main event, we see that The Miz is talking with MVP backstage. Wonder what this is about. So now we go to the main event, which is the Elimination Chamber match for the WWE Championship. The order as far as people going into the Elimination Chamber, Drew McIntyre, AJ Styles, Kofi Kingston, and Sheamus were the four that went into the pod. Remember, Sheamus is going into the match last. Jeff Hardy and Randy Orton start the chamber match. Those are the two that are going to start it. So they compete for a few minutes, nothing happens, and then Drew McIntyre out of the gate, out of the chamber, next at number three. They fight for a little bit, and then Kofi Kingston comes out. So Kingston and Orton, they have a brief little scuffle, and then Kingston, with a quick roll-up, 1, 2, 3, Randy Orton, the first man eliminated from the match. That was a big surprise. I did not expect Orton number one to be eliminated, and number two to be eliminated that quick. So after the elimination, Randy Orton hits the RKO on the remaining three people in the ring. As he is leaving, AJ Styles is telling Omos to open the back of the chamber. Remember, this is a plexiglass. So Omos takes the plexiglass, pulls it down. AJ Styles goes out from behind, goes around the chamber, and as he's about to go up the steps, he stops, he looks at Randy. Randy's looking at him like, I do not want to be messed with. And AJ eventually does go in. He tries to pin all three men, could not do it. Sheamus is the last man to enter the chamber match. So again, we have five guys going at it. Sheamus and Kingston have a very good series here for a little bit. And Kingston takes a bro kick, and it is a devastating looking bro kick to eliminate Kofi Kingston from the match. So now we're down to four. Drew McIntyre, not too long after, hits the Claymore kick onto Jeff Hardy, eliminates Hardy, so we're down to three. AJ tries for a springboard 450 splash on Drew, kind of botches it at first, then goes back to do it a second time to hit it. Couldn't really get the three count there. So Sheamus and AJ fight for a little bit. Sheamus tries to go for the bro kick. Styles then hits him with a phenomenal forearm. Sheamus is eliminated. Now we're down to AJ Styles and Drew McIntyre. AJ goes to the outside. He's going for the springboard phenomenal forearm, but he gets caught with a Claymore kick. 1-2-3. Drew McIntyre wins, retains the WWE title. A good chamber match. I gave this one a B as well. I thought this was a good match. I still think the SmackDown chamber match was the better of the two, but this one was good as well. Meltzer gave this 4 stars. CBS Sports gave it a B. After the match, this is where it gets interesting. Bobby Lashley comes out, and he attacks Drew McIntyre. He beats the crap out of him, in the ring and out of the ring. And he leaves him left laying for dead. And then you hear the awesome theme. Here comes The Miz, running in with a referee. Cashes in the Money in the Bank contract. We have an impromptu WWE title match. Miz hits a DDT. 1, 2. Nope, Drew kicks out. Miz then goes for the skull-crushing finale. 1, 2, 3. The Miz wins the WWE Championship the second time. He is the WWE Champion. First time in 10 years he wins the WWE Championship. I did not give this a rating. Meltzer did not give this a rating. CBS Sports did give it a rating and gave it a B+. Okay. And that's the review of the Elimination Chamber. So, what did our fans on Facebook think of the Elimination Chamber event? Well, every grade got a vote on our poll, with the majority going with a C grade. And you know what? That's going to be the grade that I'm going to give it. I'm going to give it a C. It felt like Raw. You know, it just felt like a TV show, but I didn't mind that we didn't have that many matches. The two chamber matches were very good. I like the triple threat match. I even like the pre-show four-way. Universal title was what it was. And the women's tag title match, I'm really not sure what that was about. It just didn't connect with me there. As far as favorite match goes, basically everyone went with the SmackDown Elimination Chamber match. That's going to be what I give my vote for the best match of the night. One person did vote for Drew McIntyre versus The Miz, probably because they are a Miz fan. So, real quick, I do want to talk about briefly with Raw this week, just a couple of interesting notes. Randy Orton throwing up black ink. Maybe Papa Shango got to him. I'm not really sure. Charlotte trying to be a face, but pulling it off terribly. And then telling her dad, Ric Flair, go home, Dad. Go home, Dad. Oh, my God. Some people liked that bit. I didn't. I just couldn't get into that segment. I just really couldn't, because it's the same crap over and over again. And then what made it worse is Charlotte had a match on the show with Asuka against Nia and Shayna. And they lose. Charlotte and Asuka lose the match. Okay. Charlotte tries to explain to Asuka what happens. And then after she explains, she just throws her hands up to Asuka and is like, forget about it. I'm done. It's like, how am I supposed to feel sympathy for you? How? But the big story from Raw was Bobby Lashley going to get a WWE Championship match this coming Monday night on Raw, beat Braun Strowman to prevent him from going to compete for the WWE title, which would have made it a triple threat match. And this was Miz's way, basically the deal with him and MVP was, if Lashley can beat up McIntyre and Miz wins the WWE title, Lashley will get the first shot at the title. Well, Miz didn't really give it to him, but it is penciled in. So, we have a very interesting couple of days this week on television. Monday Night Raw, obviously, Bobby Lashley and The Miz for the WWE title. This is either going to go one of two ways. We will either see history be made with Bobby Lashley winning the WWE title, or the match will not happen. So that's really the big thing on Raw this coming week is the WWE Championship match. I really don't expect much to happen out of that. But Wednesday is going to be the week you're going to want to keep, or the day of the week you're going to want to keep an eye on, because NXT and Dynamite are going to have two stacked shows. NXT this coming week has the WWE Women's Tag Team Championships defended. Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler are going to defend against the winners of the Women's Dusty Cup in Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez. The NXT Tag Team titles are going to be defended as MSK face Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch as well. So you have a lot there on the NXT side this week. And then on Dynamite, which, oh, by the way, is the last Dynamite before the Revolution pay-per-view, you have the big mixed tag team match, Shaquille O'Neal and Jade Cargill against Cody Rhodes and Red Velvet. And you also have the six-man tag team match where FTR teams up with Tully Blanchard to face all three members of Jungle Express. And that's... both shows are stacked. Both shows are pretty stacked. And that's the last show before the Revolution pay-per-view, which is the following Sunday. Whew! Going to be a fun week coming up in the world of professional wrestling. Well, that's going to do it for the show this week. But before I go, let's do the plugs. You can follow the show on Twitter at WrestlingShow11. Follow the show on Instagram at ThatWrestlingShow. If you guys have any questions or comments, send an email, WrestlingMan@ThatWrestlingShow.com. Follow the show. Well, actually, I already told you to follow the show. Join our Facebook group. It is That Wrestling Show Fan Group. You type that in the search bar and you are right there. And if you can't find it, it's okay. I put the link in the description of each and every episode. And if you like what you hear heard here, check out our Patreon page, patreon.com/thatwrestlingshow. Three tiers, $1, $2, and $3. $3 gets you a lot of stuff, including first-hand review, instant reaction of pay-per-view within 24 hours after it airs. Plus, we also have, for $1, That Wrestling Show After Dark. It is a monthly show with myself and Fro where we go outside of professional wrestling and talk a lot of, you know, stuff going on in the world. Well, let's plug some friends of our show and podcasts you should check out. Starting with Our Vantage Point, the retro wrestling podcast with Joe Morata and Michael Quinn. They take you through the world of retro wrestling. This week, they defend Psycho Sid. Plus, the Royal Flush begins of the worst WrestleMania main events. Plus, a review of World Championship Wrestling from July 13th, 1991. That is this week on Our Vantage Point, the Retro Wrestling Podcast. Check out Greetings from Allentown with Peter Winston. He watches an episode of professional wrestling each week and talks about it in his own unique way. This week, he discusses and reviews an episode of WWF Championship Wrestling from March 8th, 1986, when the Haiti Kid gets a haircut. That is this week on Greetings from Allentown. On Juice Pro Wrestling, it is Devin Swank, the vocalist from, oh boy, I know I'm going to mess this up, Senguzugabog. Well, that was close enough. He joins the group to discuss the new album, Tortured Hole, the band's popularity, and singing with Century Media, plus more. That is this week on Juice Pro Wrestling. For non-wrestling podcasts, check out the Best Pick Movie Podcast with Tom, John, and Jess, three movie lovers who watch each and every Academy Award-winning Best Picture in no particular order. This week, they watch and discuss the Best Picture winner of 1938, You Can't Take It With You. That is this week on the Best Pick Movie Podcast. Also join Ian, Rick, Abani, and Carrie Silkin for Last Stop Penn Station, where this week they discuss Ring of Honor's 19th anniversary, plus a lot more. That is this week on Last Stop Penn Station. Also, check out The Castle Vault, a chronological deep dive of Disney animated films powered by Disney+. This week it is two episodes as they review The Incredibles and Volume 2 of Pixar Shorts. That is this week on The Castle Vault. On Dave and Ethan's 2000 Inch Weird Al podcast, they interview Robin Von Swank, the prominent comedian and celebrity photographer behind Weird Al's iconic Alpocalypse album cover. You get to hear that this week on Dave and Ethan's 2000 Inch Weird Al podcast. Also, this week on Sharks Pond, a South Park podcast where I watch, discuss, and review each and every South Park episode, it is the beginning of the second half of Season 11 as I review La Petite Tourette. That is this week on Sharks Pond, a South Park podcast. And finally, this Sunday, a brand new episode of Eliminated, a Royal Rumble podcast, comes out, where myself and Jim Boy Star, we discuss the 2021 Women's Royal Rumble match. That is this weekend on Eliminated, a Royal Rumble podcast. All right, next week on the show, going to preview AEW Revolution. Take a look at that card. going to make predictions on all the matches, including the historic exploding barbed wire death match between Kenny Omega and Jon Moxley. Plus, more wrestling news, and who knows what else will happen. Everybody have a good, safe weekend. Thank you for tuning in to That Wrestling Show, the podcast where all pro wrestling matters. And as always, wrestle on.